as there's a problem with the seat belts, which may not hold people safely in a crash. The company says heat generated by the pretensions deployment can break the cable. At least two injuries have been reported. If you own one of these models, you can bring it back to the dealer free of charge starting on January 16th. The dealer will inject some insulation to protect the cables from the heat. I'm Hank Silverberg.
Airbnb has promised to quit clogging up cities that are struggling with housing shortages. The online home sharing platform has announced new restrictions on London and Amsterdam listings that bar homeowners from running their places to visitors for more than 90 and 60 days a year, respectively. Airbnb had promised to work with major markets to ensure it wasn't exacerbating a long-term rental shortage. I'm Ann Cates.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.99%. APR, 4.77%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Here's a tip. The number one way to avoid talking about religion or politics over the holidays? Brand new custom blinds from Blinds.com. A beautiful distraction. Now is the time to buy, not only to ensure an incident-free holiday, but because they're having one of their biggest sales of the year. For a limited time, save up to 25% off site-wide when you go to Blinds.com and use promo code WEST. Plus, you'll receive a $50 Home Depot e-gift card on qualifying orders while supplies last. That's Blinds.com, promo code WEST. Rules and restrictions apply.
Here at WRJN, when there's something to inform you about, we tell you. When there isn't, we play great music. It's our simple recipe to keep you informed and entertained.
Hi, it's Mike Clemens from WRJN. I'm here again with Dr. Patel, the Chief Medical Officer at Advanced Pain Management. Now, Dr. Patel, after surgery, a lot of people still experience pain. What treatment options are available for these folks?
Fortunately, surgery helps most people, but there are few who continue to have pain. And many of these patients can benefit from some state-of-the-art therapies that were not even available last year. Luckily, we have access to some new FDA-approved treatments that have just come to the market.
So tell us more about these new devices.
Well, these devices essentially interrupt the pain signals. If you have pain that's coming from your surgery site going to the brain, we can interrupt that right at the spinal cord. We can also interrupt that at the dorsal root ganglion. And the amazing thing is that these treatments have not only been shown to improve their pain and function, but many a times it helps us get the person off of the opioids.
Thanks, Dr. Patel. Advanced Pain Management has locations throughout Wisconsin, including Pleasant Prairie and Racine. 888-901-PAIN. Call 888-901-PAIN.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Pat Curtis. A federal lawsuit seeks to stop Wisconsin's presidential election recount. Supporters of President-elect Donald Trump contend, among other things, that the recount may unjustifiably cast doubt upon the legitimacy of Trump's victory. A member of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors is calling on Sheriff David Clark to resign.
Supervisor Supreme Moore Okamunde says Clark is not doing his job. Among other things, Okamunde says Clark bears part of the blame for the deaths of four Milwaukee County jail inmates in the last 6 months. Clark responds that Okamunde is just upset that he helped get Donald Trump elected president. Terry Bell, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Wisconsin legislature's most powerful committee is getting two new members. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has named Representatives Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam and Mike Rorcast of Neenah to the Joint Finance Committee. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Westlings, and we're pork producers.
We've pledged to be ready by January 1st, 2017, when the new federal antibiotic rules begin. We're working with our vet, and so should you. For more information or to find a vet in your area, visit the Pork Checkoff's Antibiotic Resource Center at pork.org.
This is one more opportunity for America's pig farmers to show how we raise safe, high-quality pork for your family.
This message brought to you by America's pork producers and their Pork Checkoff.
I'm here with the DuPont Pioneer team. How are Pioneer brand BMR corn silage products performing this fall?
Out here, fiber digestibility is a key measure of success.
Because higher digestibility leads to more milk in the tank.
Our BMRs provide high digestibility and produce high tonnage.
Yep, they're equipped with industry-leading agronomics to maximize yields.
There are tons and tons of reasons to plant our BMRs.
There you go. Work with your DuPont Pioneer team to make the most milk from every acre. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. No big changes as we go into the weekend. It's dry and chilly despite cloudiness. There could be a bit of snow on Sunday, maybe giving a coating to an inch, mixing with rain in the afternoon. A slight warm-up is likely early next week, and then a strong cold front will come through, and it'll be quite chilly in the mid and late part of next week. But for today, going up to 39 with clouds, down to 28 tonight, up to 37 tomorrow. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Well, good afternoon. Lou Turner in for Glenn Klein today, right now about 11 minutes after 1 o'clock. And indeed, it's time for the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, joined by Attorney Cabranes. Let me see if I get these right. Shanaz Lakdawala?
That is correct.
I didn't turn your mic on. One more?
That is correct.
And they're still not there. There we go. One more.
That is correct.
I just want everybody to know I got that right. And Jordan Schrader, everybody, thanks for joining us. Attorney Cabranes, how are you?
Good. How are you doing,
Lou? I'm doing well. It's been a while since we did this.
I know. It's been about, what, a month and a half or so?
I guess so.
I know.
But Glenn takes a lot of time.
He does.
He needs his vacations.
Well, you know, he leads a very stressful life.
That indeed he does. I need to say, folks, if we don't get to every problem that you have and get everything solved right this minute, feel free to call Cabranes Law Office in Racine, 638-0529. That's 638-0529. Your first consultation is always free. That said, Attorney Cabranes, what's on the docket today?
I have no idea, Lou. I came in here completely unprepared.
And at the last possible second.
And at the last possible. I was really, I've been running and gunning all week. We can talk about pretty much anything that the listeners want to talk about, preferably of a legal nature. But
what are you doing for Christmas?
If you want to talk about what you're doing for Christmas or what your favorite Christmas holiday show is or... I'm more than happy to talk about Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for an hour, if that's what you want to do.
And who is better? 634-9756. That's 634-9756. If you figure that out, it's 634-WRJ, and we'd be happy to take your phone calls. I'll start us off. I was just thinking we were going to start the show and maybe get going before you got here. We weren't positive you'd make it. And I was thinking, when you have a law office, are there seasons for things? I mean, we're going into the holidays. Is there something that you see this time of year more than another or anything like that? Anything cyclical? Is it a busier time, a less busy?
Well, Lou, you would be amazed to find out that really from the time between Thanksgiving and I would say probably the 15th of January or so, we see a lot of drunk driving cases through the office. I mean, it's shocking, I know, that people would drink and drive during the holidays.
It would celebrate with parties and whatnot this time of year.
But we do a lot of those. And, you know, in fact, we had a motion hearing this week on a drunk driving case, and we got the blood results thrown out. Yes, I am patting myself on the back because those of you who have been through this process before and who may have a law degree know how difficult that actually is. But, a couple of years ago there was a case that made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court called McNeely versus Missouri. And essentially the bottom line in that case is that there is a requirement now that before they can draw blood from you, they have to get a search warrant. And so, in my guy's case, they were having some difficulty finding somebody to sign off on that search warrant, so they decided to take the blood anyway. We got the case suppressed. Back in the old days, back in the bad old days before McNeely, what used to happen when you didn't want to give blood was they would grab, three or four people would grab you, they would pin your arm down to the cot or the gurney or whatever it was, and they'd jam a needle into you and take the blood. But the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that anymore. And this week we got one of them tossed out.
Well, let's look at it from the other way. Here's a guy drunk, possibly, I don't know, on the road, allegedly. He got pulled over maybe for a reason. Certainly unsafe for the other people around. Why make it more difficult to keep the DUIs off the road and give them, you know, the punishments most of us would say they deserve?
Well, because we're a country of laws, and we have rules. And when you break the rule, you should expect to be punished. But the problem is that who says that you break the rules? Does the police say that you broke the rule, so therefore you're going to be punished? Does the prosecutor say you broke the rule, or you're going to be punished? Does the judge say you broke the rule and you're going to be punished? And the answer to that is none of the above.
It needs to be proven.
It needs to be proven, and it needs to be proven before a jury of your peers. And in a case such as this, one of the critical pieces of evidence that comes in is the level of alcohol in your system. And sometimes they do that through blood. Sometimes they do that through urine. It's most commonly done either through breath or blood. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's not necessarily a huge piece of the puzzle, because what happens is, and if you've never, and I hope you never do.
I haven't yet. Fingers crossed. I mean, back in the day.
Oh, I know. We all took stupid chances as kids.
Yeah.
But some of us have been luckier than others. The average listener out there, I would assume, hope that you've never had to go through this. But if you ever do, what you can expect to happen is you get two tickets. The first ticket that you get is a ticket basically saying you drove drunk. It's an OWI ticket.
Mm-hmm. And operating while intoxicated, right?
Operating while intoxicated, that's right. A lot of states call them DUIs. They're fundamentally the same thing. But the other ticket that you get, and it goes hand in hand, it has the same exact penalties as the OWI, is a ticket for operating with a prohibited alcohol concentration. And that's when they actually do the blood draw or the breath test, and you ping the needle. And depending on what level offense it is, for example, 1 through 3, the offense level is a 0.08. Once you get to a fourth offense, now it drops down to a 0.02. Really, at a 0.02, if you have one beer, you're done. But that's a separate charge. And so, as lawyers would say, and you animal right activists, please don't send me letters.
here it comes.
That's right. Yeah. You get two kicks at the cat.
I thought we used to say can, two kicks at the can.
Well,
that route.
Let's do that, because that way we don't harm any kitties on this show.
Right. I'm sure there's an alliance of people about cans. So what... Say I'm driving. How can a police officer pull me over? Obviously, if I'm driving erratically or dangerously, but there's got to be a reason to get pulled over, right? Not just, hey, they saw me coming out of a bar or something like that.
Yeah, usually the cops need to have reasonable suspicion to stop you. So like you said, if they are seeing you swerving or, you know, deviating lanes is a big one that they usually see, and that's usually why they pull them over.
Right.
That's when they'll stop you, and that's what they need. They need the reasonable suspicion to know that you probably or will commit a crime. A lot of times when we get OWI cases, that's one thing that we do check. We watch the squad video, try to see if there actually was any sort of deviation going on, and if there wasn't, if we can show that maybe the cops did not have reasonable suspicion, we can get the whole case dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what if? Oh, gee, we thought you were swerving, so we pulled you over, and I guess you weren't really, but you're just hammered. It doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter, actually, because the law says that you need to have a reasonable suspicion mm-hmm. That you have committed a crime, are committing a crime, or are about to commit a crime. And so, and that suspicion has to be articulable, okay? So
they have to be able to prove it.
They have to be able to say, you know, this is why he came to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be something that, again, shows that a violation of either a law or a traffic ordinance or something along those lines. And I'll give you an example. A few years ago, I had a drunk driving case. It started in Sturtevant and I guess ended in Mount Pleasant, but it was on Highway 11, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and my guy was swerving within his lane. He never crossed.
Went over the line.
He never crossed the line in either mm-hmm. on either side, but he was clearly swerving within his lane. The cop pulled him over, charged him with OWI, and we came to court. The interesting thing was that there was a case that was going up to the Supreme Court with almost identical facts. And the bottom line is that swerving within your lane, as long as you don't go over the line, is not reason for a cop to stop you. So you can go from paint to paint. But
the yellow to the white on the,
that's
on the
right.
Right.
But as long as you don't cross, that alone is not enough to pull you over. And so, you know, what will happen is cops will deal and prosecutors will deal with what they call totality of the circumstances. And so if they see you weaving, if they see you, let's say for the sake of argument, you're going...
Failure to indicate when you're, you know, switching lanes.
Going to turn, right. Right.
Or you're going 35 and a 50. The totality of the circumstances will give them a sense that there's something that's not right.
Something unusual for the circumstances.
Right. But again, you have to go back to somebody is either committing, has committed, or is about to commit an offense. And if it fits within that kind of framework, then you can pull them over. And if it doesn't fit within that kind of framework, for example, you know, we'll talk about the weaving and the motion hearing that we had on the McNeely motion, which is the blood draw issue. There are two different real outcomes that come, even though the judge, in both of those cases, the judges threw the case, threw the evidence out.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where it is in that case that the evidence gets thrown out, it's either a death blow for the state's case or the state just has some to work a little harder to get the conviction and may not get the conviction, but they have to work harder for it. For example, if it happens at a stage where the cop is seeing you weaving, well, at that reasonable suspicion stage, what winds up happening is the cop pulls you over. If he doesn't have reasonable suspicion to pull you over, then that entire case is going to get tossed because he didn't have, like I said, the reasonable suspicion. On the other hand, if he had reasonable suspicion, if you've given him enough cause to pull you over and you have an illegal blood draw like we had in the case that I had this week, what winds up happening is the blood gets suppressed. So the ticket for the prohibited alcohol concentration that you get or the complaint, the charge for prohibited alcohol concentration, that's going to go away because that can no longer be proven at this point.
But the first ticket still...
The OWI ticket, yes.
Right.
Because the OWI ticket is not dependent on a blood alcohol. In fact, people have been convicted on a 0.06, 0.07 for operating while under the intoxicant, under the influence of an intoxicant, because all that requires is that you are unable to safely control your vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So where does I remember years and years ago, I was pulled over and I had been drinking and I had a field sobriety test. And apparently passed it because I was also very, very nice to the officer and, you know, just scared to death, of course. Do they still do that, the field sobriety thing?
Oh, sure.
And he did some stuff that I don't know if you could do on a good day. It's pretty hard stuff that they have you do, and then that it's their judgment, obviously. How does that come down once you get into a court of law?
I got to tell you that it's almost impossible to beat a field sobriety test, to say that there was no probable cause to arrest, because now you're shifting from reasonable suspicion to probable cause to arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have some reason, some substantial reason to believe that a crime is being committed. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, what's happening now is that they'll pull the squad into a certain location where they can do the field sobriety tests while you're standing in front of the squad. And the reason for that is because they've got the squad cameras.
Right.
And so they can actually record, and the officers have microphones on them, and so you can actually record the field sobriety tests as they're going. Now, that can be, in some cases, can be a great tool. In some cases, not so much. But, you know, I'll tell you, Lou, that cops cheat on these field sobriety tests, because there are ways, especially on the one-leg stand, there are ways of standing where the cop can just make it look so simple. And it turns out that it's not as easy for those of us who lack some basic coordination.
Right. Yeah, as I said, on a good day, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, but, you know, what they're looking for, really, on a lot of these tests is not only your ability to perform the test, but what they're really looking for is, ability to follow instructions. And because what they'll do is they'll demonstrate the test for you ahead of time. This is what I want you to do. And, for example, they'll do a walk and turn test where you have to take 9 steps heel to toe. And then the turn is kind of a weird little turn that they demonstrate to you. If you fall over during the 9 steps,
indicator,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
If you don't perform the turn the way they showed you, that's a clue that you may be intoxicated. You know, and they also use this horizontal gaze nystagmus, where they essentially run that pen or light in
right.
front of your eyes, and mm-hmm. they're looking for twitching in your eyeball. And the farther you go to the extreme, to the not
peripheral.
Peripheral area. Yeah, that's a good way. My English not so good today. the farther you go to the periphery, usually the harder your eyeball is going to twitch, and those are going
to
be signals.
You're working to get it there. Yeah.
Right. So those are signals. I got to tell you that OWIs, the law enforcement, has them down to a science, and once they get you. It's not easy to fight an OWI, because, you know, if you don't give the blood or if you don't give the breath, you're going to get revoked on an implied consent revocation. And here's something that a lot of people don't understand. You can beat the case. Let's say, for the sake of argument, I get pulled over and I refuse to give you my blood or breath. And they, for whatever reason, can't get a warrant.
So they'd say, okay, you want to blow into this device, which is what we hear about blowing to see how high your alcohol content is. You can refuse to do that?
Oh, sure. And it goes down as a refusal.
Okay.
And not only can you refuse to do that, but I've had people who have not blown hard enough so that the machine will register, and that'll also count as a refusal.
Mm-hmm.
And so what'll happen is that when you get a refusal, unless you immediately challenge that refusal in the proper court, the Department of Transportation will issue a 1-year revocation for that refusal. Now, here's something that a lot of people don't know. You're obviously going to be charged with an OWI. You're not probably going to be charged with a prohibited alcohol concentration, because they don't have the number. But even if you go into court and you beat the OWI in court, that OWI is still going to count down the line. Why? Because the counting mechanism is convictions, suspensions, or revocations. And so if you get suspended or revoked, even if you're never convicted of the underlying charge, which is the OWI,
it still counts.
It still counts.
So you're not out all the money. You don't have a black mark on your record saying that, that you broke this law, yet you can't drive, and this could still get you down the line.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, don't drink and drive.
That's the message. Yeah. Well, you know, the real message is this. I mean, I ride motorcycles, okay? And I got to tell you that, you know, it never... I every summer it happens. You see stories about drunk drivers taking out motorcyclists,
right?
You know, it scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I've heard if you ride a bike, you better assume everybody's out to get you and go with that mentality to stay safe.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. That's absolutely correct. And it's not, they don't have to be drunk to do it. They're just some bad drivers out there.
And motorcycles are less visible. There's less of it to notice.
They are. Mm. They are. But, you know.
Not that it's your fault for riding, but, I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, but if people paid more attention.
Yeah.
You know, the problem, and if you ride a bike, you know what I'm talking about. You know, everybody wants to make it the bike's fault that, I turned in front of the bike, I didn't see him. So somehow mm-hmm. the biker was the guy who was at fault in that accident when he had the right of way.
Right.
You know, people need to pay a little more attention, but people don't. So,
yeah, for sure.
So a smart rider assumes that everybody's out to kill you.
Yeah, it can't be that fun of a way to ride, I wouldn't think.
Actually, you know, riding inside of a city is not all that much fun. And the worst part about the worst place to ride a motorcycle is in a parking lot, because you've got people coming at you from every angle.
Yeah, it's goofy laws in there anyway.
Yeah. But I'll tell you that there is nothing like getting out there in the middle of nowhere. And just leaning back into your bike and letting it go. And I got to tell you, it's my therapy. I could pay some therapist $150 an hour to tell them all of my problems, or I can get on my bike and ride in Western
nice,
Racine
quiet
County.
Road, yeah.
In Western Racine County on one of the scenic highways that they've got out there. And I got to tell you that, you know, I can there's a point in that ride where I can feel my entire body just relax. There's nothing like it. If you've got psychological problems like I do, go ahead and buy a bike.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, 634-7956. That's 9756 or 634-WRJN. And we can take a quick break here, do news. I know Tom Carco's ready to go. If you don't want to call the radio show, we won't hold it against you. You can call Cabranes Law at 638-0529. That's 638-0529, and they will talk to you. Your first consultation is free, and that's how that works. So we're going to take a break for news here. We will be back with more of the Cabranes Law Hour here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Hi, it's Mike Clemens from WRJN, and I'm here with Dr. Nilesh Patel, the Chief Medical Officer at Advanced Pain Management. Now, Dr. Patel, what exactly is pain management, and what type of people would benefit from seeing a pain management physician?
Pain management is just what it sounds like. It's a group of specialists who are solely dedicated to the treatment of patients suffering from chronic pain. Because they have received more training in pain management, specifically fellowship training, they're able to quickly and effectively get to the source of pain. At Advanced Pain Management, we utilize state-of-the-art, minimally invasive treatments and therapeutic modalities. And we perform injections, nerve blocks, pain-relieving implantable therapies, which can help a lot of people with a lot of chronic pain conditions, including back pain, neck pain, headaches, cancer pain, pelvic pain, complex regional pain syndrome, fibromyalgia.
Thank you, Dr. Patel. Advanced Pain Management has convenient locations throughout Wisconsin, including Pleasant Prairie and Racine. To learn more, call 888-901-PAIN. Again, that's 888-901-PAIN.
Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, cloudy this afternoon, the high near 39. A new AAA survey reveals a majority of Wisconsinites believe that drinking and driving a much bigger problem here in the Badger State than anywhere else in the country. survey by the Auto Club, the Wisconsin Bureau of Transportation Safety, and the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. At 630 people responding, more than 40% admitting to driving within 2 hours of having multiple drinks. UW-Madison canceling thousands of pay raises that were supposed to offset new federal overtime rules. The regulations would have forced the school to pay another $4 million in overtime. The overall history of radio broadcasting in America includes WRJN in Racine as one of the pioneers, soon celebrating 90 years of informing and entertaining the community. In just a few short days, WRJN will be turning 90 years old. And for the next week, you're going to be hearing feature reports on our newscast about just some of what was on the air over the last nine decades. Unfortunately, there are no recordings of those early times beginning in December 1926, when the concept of radio in Racine was just being created. Ken Hegard, though, was a staff announcer at WRJN from the 1930s into 1940. He mentioned live plays that he and the staff did during an interview in early 1981.
I remember Dick Conrad then was our program director, and the three or four of us would take over and do 10, 12 different parts in a half hour.
On our 80th anniversary live broadcast at Memorial Hall, 88-year-old Al Burgemeister talked about beginning with WRJN in 1936 and the work he did at studios we had at the time in Kenosha.
I was the junior announcer. And I did a melody matinee from 3 to 3:30 p.m., popular variety dance music.
Also in the 30s to around 1940, Herb Mann Jr.
We had play-by-play broadcasts. We had opinions of the passerby, the man on the street, right under the clock. We'll meet you at 12 o'clock.
And a very popular show that came along at WRJN, the Ladies' Air Journal, with Isabel Monk.
The greatest highlights were when I interviewed Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. I can see why she was known as the world's first lady.
And back in those early days, it was a lot of national network programming, like NBC's Fibber McGee and Molly, sponsored for many years by Racine's S.E. Johnson.
The Johnson Wax Administration Building, Molly. Frank Lloyd Wright designed it.
Frank Lloyd Wright is the great modern architect.
Isn't he the guy that designs waterfalls running through your living room and tornadoes through your checkbook?
It's these kinds of memories and more that you'll be hearing over the next week on our newscasts as we celebrate the 90th anniversary of WRJN, the fourth oldest radio station in the state of Wisconsin. Remember, WRJN newscasts available in podcast form on our webpage at WRJN.com, at WRJN News for our Twitter updates. Our AccuWeather Weather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Say no to useless gifts. Say yes to clean cars. Finish your list with Victory Lane Car Wash. Save 10% on books of five starting at only $55. No expiration and gift certificates available in any amount. Give the gift of clean with Victory Lane Full Service Car Wash. VictoryLaneCarWash.com.
WRJN AccuWeather Forecast. No big changes as we go into the weekend. It's dry and chilly despite cloudiness. There could be a bit of snow on Sunday, maybe giving a coating to an inch, mixing with rain in the afternoon. A slight warm-up is likely early next week, and then a strong cold front will come through, and it'll be quite chilly in the mid and late part of next week. But for today, going up to 39 with clouds, down to 28 tonight, up to 37 tomorrow. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour. Lou Turner in for Glenn Klein here on WRJN. This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created if you call. This show is intended to provide legal information, not legal advice. Attorneys have neither the time or the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal case. And with that said, back to Attorney Cabranes and our always guests, Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. Back to you guys.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that I am going to be in a seminar next week in beautiful Orlando, Florida. And so I will not be here, but probably Shanaz and Jordan will. And taking my place will also be Attorney Tom Durkin. So those of you who called last week with questions about workman's compensation, with personal injury issues, next week is the guy that I've been talking to you about. You know, he's been doing that for at least 20 years. If he doesn't know the answer to your question, then I honestly don't know who would. So if you have a personal injury, you have a workman's comp question, absolutely. Next week is the week to call in, and you can talk to Attorney Tom Durkin. He is with Becker, French, and Durkin. You will have seen him on the buses around town. He apparently likes to put his picture on buses.
Oh, he doesn't just ride.
No, no.
Got
he, it. He just, yeah. He.
I thought maybe he's just on the buses all the time.
Yeah.
He loves them. Give us a call, 634-9756. The ball's pretty much in your court, listeners, whatever you want to talk about today regarding the law would be nice. That's 634-WRJN. If you are a little skittish about calling a radio show, 638-0529 is the number of the Cabranes Law Office here in Racine. Now, I started the whole thing on DUIs just by saying, what happens this time of year? Is anything in particular going on during the holiday season? I guess I should have known. It's not a surprise that there'd be some drinking going on this time of year, especially in this state.
Yeah, well, you know, you just heard the news report that Wisconsin leads the nation. And is it really a surprise? I mean, I came out here 23 years ago from California, and I still remember. I went to school at UW, you know, once you're out of the main central area, you're pretty much in farm country.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember the one thing that I remember, I still to this day remember coming into an intersection in the middle of nowhere to find a tavern in each corner. And interestingly enough, one of them was also a bait shop. It just seems that you can't swing a cat. And here we go with the cats again. Can't swing
like
a cat
cats.
Without hitting a tavern. Can't hit a tavern or a bait shop.
I remember in Tom Sawyer, they swing dead rats. Remember that? You can't swing a dead rat. I've heard
that's
that one
right.
as well.
Well, that's, you know, that's...
And it'd already be dead. It's a rodent. Maybe we, you know, catch a break on that one.
Yeah, well, you just anger Ben and Willard.
We actually played Ben by Michael Jackson from time to time.
Did you?
And I had to think back to those movies, let me tell you. Well, yeah, certainly, and... I think there's a mentality probably with the younger people when you hear Wisconsin like leads the world possibly and drinking is like yeah, but you know that's not necessarily a good thing and it can be a really dangerous thing and that's why it's such a problem.
It is a problem. I mean, you know, I have seen people with no criminal record who get drunk, get behind the wheel of a car and kill somebody. Lose 10 years of their life over that deal. It's tragic. It's so needless. But, you know, the problem is, and you know, I've been doing this for a while, so I'm privy to some studies that a lot of people don't know exist and don't care. But, you know, there's some studies about juvenile brain formation. And really, the juvenile brain, the brain doesn't fully mature until you get to about 25 years of age. And the last part of the brain that matures is that part of the brain that does the risk-reward analysis. Okay, that's why you see younger people doing crazy stuff that'll get them killed because
right.
they're not factoring in the fact that you know they could get killed. You know, in my opinion, this is a lot of what's going on, at least initially, with the younger people who are, you know, getting stoned or getting drunk, and then they get behind the wheel of a car and they drive drunk or they drive drugged. From a penalty standpoint, there really is no difference between driving drugged and driving drunk.
Is there testing in place to know, say you're smoking pot or maybe you're on some prescription pills or overdoing it on something that even is prescribed to you and shouldn't be driving?
Well, there is no easy way of doing that. Obviously, a breathalyzer won't pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the sheriff's department here in Racine County, generally speaking, they don't do breathalyzers. They take you to St. Mary's or All Saints at this point. I'm showing my age. They'll take you to All Saints and have them draw blood. And then they can do a panel for alcohol, and if that comes up negative, they can test for marijuana or opiates or whatever mm-hmm. it is they're looking for. You know, the marijuana situation is particularly distressing because that what they're looking for in marijuana is a metabolite called Delta 9. And
I've heard of that. I've never known what that meant.
Yeah, it's a metabolite, and so what winds up happening is whether or not you are still stoned, if you have that metabolite in your system, they can consider you to have been operating while under the influence of an intoxicant.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that's something that that you have to be really careful about if you are a recreational marijuana user and you think that you're a responsible individual and that you're not going to go out there and drive while you're hammered. You know, if the worst case scenario happens and you get into a big accident, somebody dies, and you wind up having your blood drawn, and you have that metabolite, you could be finding yourself on the wrong end of a vehicular homicide charge.
Yeah, tell me about that, because this was an accident. You didn't mean to. It's not premeditated, but we're still talking basically a murder charge, right? Vehicular?
Vehicular murder? Homicide, yeah.
Okay. What, does that carry the same weight as it can't?
No, it doesn't, right. Because first-degree intentional homicide, there's only one penalty for that, and that is life. I mean, the judge can set an extended supervision date on that. So, you know, even somebody who, you know, somebody who murders another person, you know, they may get life in prison, but they may be eligible for extended supervision after 25, 30 years, mm-hmm. depending on, you know.
Lucky,
Yeah, if they're lucky or not. With a vehicular homicide, off the top of my head, it's not coming to me, but I want to say that the maximum penalty is 25 years in prison, which is still a big hit, you know, and really, you know, if you were in fact intoxicated, and they can demonstrate that you were intoxicated, there really is only one defense at that point to that charge of vehicular homicide. And that is that the accident would have occurred regardless of whether or not you were intoxicated. And I have, in fact, tried one of those cases. I would love to tell you I won it, but I didn't. But it was interesting, and I will never forget that case because it took a week to try, and it took another week for the jury to deliberate. And usually juries don't deliberate for a week. You know, you got a day or two maybe, and then the judge basically declares a mistrial.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the jury deliberated for a week, and they went home one night, and when they came back the next morning, they were split 6-6 when they went home. When they came back the next morning, about an hour into it, they all reached an agreement, and they banged my guy.
So we can't just say wrong place, wrong time. Was it my fault?
No, there's got to be circumstances under which, you know, in essence, basically what you have to demonstrate is that that it wasn't your fault, okay? Or that even if it was your fault, the circumstances under which the accident occurred, the accident would have occurred regardless of whether you'd been hammered or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I got to tell you, you know, it's a legal defense, and there are a lot of legal defenses that you can throw out there, you know, for a lot of different crimes, like voluntary intoxication, the insanity defense that you've all heard so much about, and those are technical legal defenses. The problem is juries hate technical legal defenses because all they want to hear is, were you drunk? And then,
and can you prove it?
Yeah, and then once they hear that you're drunk, you're going to get a portion of that jury that's just doesn't want to hear anything else. Mm-hmm. Well, you shouldn't have been there. And, you know, so it becomes a very difficult process of trying to convince a jury that the facts are not as clear-cut as what they appear to be. And that's, you know, sometimes defense attorneys get a bad rap because, you know, we're accused of trying to confuse and manipulate the facts, but the facts sometimes are the facts, and you just have to point them out. And when they conform to what the requirements of the law are, the jury is supposed to follow the law, but juries are people.
Right.
And so juries don't, we'd like to think that juries always follow the law, but they don't.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we started this show basically me saying, like, why are you trying to get a guy who's obviously drunk off this ticket? I mean, he deserves it. But then, but there are laws, and we've got to do it the right way.
We're a country of laws,
yeah.
And you know, the overriding principle in our country is that, it's a quote from a famous individual, and I'm going to butcher this quote, and I know I'm going to get a call accusing me of butchering the quote, but better that that 100 guilty go free than one innocent be imprisoned. Okay, and that's the way we've got our system set up. That's why it's proof beyond a reasonable doubt, because we want to make it hard for the government to throw our citizens in jail. You know, we, the citizens, are a check on the government. And you know, defense lawyers do get a bad rap. I recognize they get a bad rap. We have a job to do, and our job is to represent our client to the best of our ability. If we do that, and you know, and the problem is, you get a lot of people, you get a lot of these gadflies who start making comments about, you know, this person is so clearly guilty, and this horrible defense attorney got this horrible criminal off
on a technicality.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But here's the real issue. Most of these people know absolutely nothing about the case. And what they're doing is they're catching bits and pieces and commentaries from other people who also haven't spent a lot of time with the case. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the people in the courtroom, you talk about, you know, the juries. Sometimes jurors get a lot of flack. Casey Anthony, thinking of, and things like that. Jurors get a lot of flack for letting people go. But you know what? Unless you were there and you watched all of the testimony and you watched the whole story unfold and you know, because
took some notes, yeah,
you don't really know all of the facts. You know what you're being told, and what you're being told isn't necessarily what actually happened.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go off on a tangent here. The exact same thing with politics and Facebook. You know, I mean, how many people made a vote? And I know it's all done. We know how it turned out. But how many voted for one candidate or another? Because maybe something they saw on Facebook that they have no idea if it's even real. Just like you said, a little tidbit of a trial or something, you know, tantalizing that you heard, and boom, now your mind's made up.
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, it's you know, when it's a little different at a jury trial, I think. Than the example that you give, but the example that you give in terms of Facebook and social media in general is that you're pitching to the lowest common denominator there. There was a study that was done fairly recently that that some outrageously large number of people who comment on a story didn't even click on the story to read it. Read the headline.
Yeah.
They go off on their little rants based on that. You know, I'll leave it to the younger crowd here to because I mean you're more familiar with social media. I'm
Facebook
old.
And the tweeting and
that's right, the Facebook.
I don't know.
Well, to your point,
what do you guys think?
Well, when I see articles, I don't even read the whole thing sometimes. So that could be also. I don't know if that was part of the study or not, but
that's
what he just said.
You were the person that study was condemning.
I don't make comments if I don't read the whole thing. I usually don't make comments on stuff anyway, just because I don't care to get into political rants with people, because I don't think that you're going to change someone's mind over a Facebook post.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, their minds are made up.
Well, you know, I think part of the change in this country in over my life, I'm 56 years old, there used to be a time when you can have a discussion in this country about political issues and things like that, and it would not degenerate into a screaming match.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, over
unless it was my parents and their relatives.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, nobody fights like family. but I'm talking about, you know, people, you know, even friends. I mean, you know, how many stories did you hear over this election cycle about people losing friends over these political arguments? I mean, I just, I don't understand how we've gotten to this point where we can't listen to each other. We won't listen to each other. And
instead of going from maybe this person has a point and I can argue it, you go directly to anger.
Yes.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like I have these core beliefs, and I will not permit anybody to question my core beliefs.
And once people start arguing and yelling, everyone else stops listening. So it's
right. You're framing your next thing that's going to get them, mm-hmm. instead of listening to what anybody else might be saying.
Yeah, it's depressing. It's depressing. And it doesn't bode well for the future of our country if we continue down this path. But I don't see a way. I don't see a way to deviate from the path. So, you know, hopefully somebody will come up with some idea. But I think it's a cultural change, and it's going to require another cultural change to reverse course.
Yeah, it seems like the checks and balances that we had in place to make this government work just went so far to the left and so far to the right, there's no middle anymore for anybody to come together and make a decision or negotiate some kind of decent law or action of any kind. Everybody's just, no, we just have to stop them instead of, you know, trying to do something good. You know, we went to a Packer party a couple of weeks ago, and there's a great big sign on the door that said, no politics. You know, it was nice. Yeah. It's like, and we knew we'd get yelled at, too. She was a feisty lady at the party. Said, I don't want to hear it. Let's enjoy the game, and it was great.
Well, you know, especially in Wisconsin, I think we're burned out. I mean, we have essentially been in almost a nonstop election cycle since 2010. I mean, when Scott Walker won that first election, and then he was almost immediately, as soon as they could recall him, they tried to recall him. They recalled some of the senators ahead of that. You know, we had a very after the recall election, we had another gubernatorial election, and you know, it's funny because it's the same people that are involved. I mean, you had Scott Walker, you had the mayor of Milwaukee, who ran three times in the space of two elections, the two gubernatorial elections and the recall election, and it's almost like, you know, people's refusal to accept the results of the elections, and I think you're seeing that now again, especially with this recall, people's refusal to accept the results of the election.
Why protest now?
It's crazy.
I don't get it.
I do a lot of immigration work, and I have a lot of people who are extremely concerned about what's going to happen, not only to illegal immigration but to legal immigration.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm fielding calls on a regular basis, and the only thing I can say to people, and if you're one of those people who's concerned about it, I'll tell the same thing to you: worry when there's something to worry about. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know. At this point, there are just warning signs out. There's nothing that's actually happened that we have to take to the streets over and deal with it. But, you know, that point may come. We may get there. And it could be under a Republican administration. It could be under a Democratic administration at some point. But sooner or later, you know, I think the sides are either going to have to come together or we're just going to have it out. And my suspicion is we're just going to have it out.
Yeah. Right, I think on that note, I think we're about there, guys. This has been the Cabranes Law Hour with Attorney John Cabranes, Shanaz Dlakdawala, Jordan Schrader. Now, hit us one more time with what's going on next week. You are not going to be here. I will be. Glenn, I don't know how he gets all this time off.
Well,
hopefully he will be back.
You know, he must have pictures of the boss or something. Yeah, he's in Florida, actually. He's in Tampa.
Yeah. And he was telling me it was 80 degrees. He said, I'm not excited at all. His family's down there. He's going to have a great time.
Oh, he's going to have a great time.
Well-deserved.
I'm going to Orlando. So I'll be in his. I'll be within shouting distance of him. And I've got a CLE. But next week, both the lovely Shanaz Dlakdawala and the lovely Jordan Schrader will be here again to answer your questions. And we'll have, sitting in my chair, we'll have Attorney Tom Durkin, who can talk about Social Security issues, talk about workman's comp issues, talk about personal injury issues. Those types of issues that you called, you were so gracious to call last week about, and that I have little to no experience in. We have somebody who will have, who has 20 plus years of experience in that, and he will be happy to share that with you.
Sounds good. We'll do that next week. Thanks all for coming in, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do it again next week here on your radio friend, WRJN.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.